Marty, how are you?
I'm doing well. Quite a night last night. First of all, I saw some of the things you tweeted out in the blog. Very emotional night at the Trop last night with 40,000 people celebrating Pride Night, and I know it meant a lot.
Well, you know, it really did. It already was sort of their Pride Night. That's what they had on the schedule for their promotion, and then the community just sort of really embraced it. And when the Rays said, hey, we're going to take every ticket that's not unsold, and we're going to untarp some of the sections that we don't even sell, and anybody wants to buy a ticket for $5, no service fees, we'll donate all of it to the victims' funds. And the response was that they sold every ticket they could sell. Mm-hmm. And so they were going to push back the first pitch a few minutes, but they didn't want that publicized because they wanted everyone to get there in time to see just a really moving video montage, and the gay men's choir, and everybody was wearing Pride T-shirts. And you know, it there's still so much homophobia out there, especially in baseball, and to see the way that the LGBT community has been embraced is really stunning. I mean, it's quite a shift just in, you know, 3 or 4 years of, you know, or to say nothing of the last, you know, decades and decades. So it tells you that, you know, in a lot of ways we're moving in the right direction when it comes to tolerance and acceptance and of people who are different.
I got to hear a little bit of the Tampa broadcast on the way over to San Rafael last night to see the robo-ump, and the real ump was Eric Burns, and it was a fascinating experience for me. But I did get to hear Billy Bean interviewed, and that is the Billy Bean of the Rays, B-E-A-N, who's an openly gay man. And community representative from the Rays, and talked about how baseball brings a community together. It's a place that people can get together, and it's sort of what we said last week. And so I just want to mention that, and I'm glad you were part of it, and I'm glad you could see it, and it's appropriate that the Giants were there as well. All right, let's move on.
I agree. And the Giants were the first team, as you remember, to do Until There's a Cure Night. And it was a controversy when they started it up in, I want to say, about 1992, 93, somewhere around then. You know, the players, all they had to do was wear a little red ribbon, and there was a player or two that said, I do not want to be a part of this. And that was, you know, for AIDS awareness and trying to find a cure for AIDS, which obviously afflicts a lot of different people from a lot of walks of life. And disproportionately at that point in the gay community. But, you know, we've gone from there to where we are now. And certainly there's a lot more tolerance and acceptance that needs to happen given some of the things that are happening in our country right now. But it gives you hope that you know, we are making progress.
All right. Very good. Well said. I'm glad that we could cover that today. Jeff Samardzija, Andy, a few rough ones. But last night, tell me what you saw. And it is his first complete game as a Giant. What did you see with Samardzija?
Well, no, I don't want to completely discount what he did because he was a pitch away from finishing with a three-hit shutout. But the Rays are pretty terrible, and they're pretty bad at home. I think their on-base percentage as a team at home is about .280. And there were a lot of pitches that were, you know, pretty hittable locations, especially in the early couple innings. But he did a much better job, I thought, mixing not, you know, necessarily throwing first pitch fastballs. You know, he really threw a couple nasty pitches to Evan Longoria, things that were, you know, buzzing him in on the hands. And I think he got better as he went along. He said that he changed up his tempo, just got back to maybe slowing it down so his arm didn't get ahead of his body. That's what we saw a lot in the spring when his pitches were up. And I don't know if he completely dominated. You know, like I said, I think that, you know, he runs into a hotter hitting club that maybe he gives up a few runs. But overall, I think you got to be pleased if you're him after pitching only 14 and two-thirds innings total over his previous three starts to kind of get back on that track of getting someone who works deep into games and pounding the zone and trusting your defense. You know, I let off my game story with the fact that he let that ball skid past him on the mound in the fifth inning. This is a wide receiver we're talking about. As he said, I like to catch things. And he let it go because he knew Brandon Crawford would be in the right position. And that's a guy who's spent 3 months with a pretty good defense now. And he has that familiarity and trust in them. And Matt Duffy was certainly phenomenal as well. And they didn't let the field turf situation bother them if they hadn't really experienced that in a long time. So, you know, I think it's just familiarity and trust. And that's what you're seeing with Samardzija and his teammates.
Andy Baggerly with us, Extra Bags on Twitter, San Jose Mercury News. Andy, the batting order, and I'm starting to get a feel here that Belt is going to be in that three spot, and no one's moving him out of there. I don't care who's pitching. Posey's four, and I think Crawford is going to be in the five spot. Do you agree with that? Do you see that happening?
Well, it could be, especially against right-handed pitchers, because it allows you to break up, go left, right, left, right. Also, Crawford is doing the job with runners in scoring position. I think that he's 15 out of his last about 28 with runners in scoring position. And, he's coming up in situations to drive in runs, and he's driving them in. And, I think that Duffy, it's a good spot for him to be down in the order because he is in more of an RBI mode, which means he can be a little more aggressive, use his pull side a little bit more because he definitely has some more hits he can get that way that he hasn't. And you look at Belt and he's just getting on base. He's just got such a great approach. And he started that two-run rally in the first inning with a very, very quiet bases empty two-out walk. And sometimes that's how you have to start a rally, especially against somebody like a Chris Archer, who's been really, really good once he gets past the first inning. And then, of course, Crawford comes up with he's four sliders to start the game off a guy who's got one of the best sliders in the league and somehow stays disciplined on an 0-2 count to take two of them. And then when he gets a fastball at 96 on the outer edge, he puts a good swing on it and hits it the other way. And bingo, it's 2-0. It ended up being the only runs the Giants needed. So I agree. I think that Crawford is probably a good match in the five spot, and Belt's probably going to stay three for the time being.
Very good. You said bingo. And in my little limerick that I have for these guys of Crawford to Panic to Belt, it's bingo to bango to Belt. And I'm going, that's what I call it. And I said to Crawford, you're bingo, Panic, you're bango, and Belt, you're Belt. And very
and
good.
There are also two Brandons in there, so you can go your alliteration a little further.
I like it. Well, they're playing great defense. Andy, Suarez today, obviously for Kane, Peavy moved back. Peavy a lock for tomorrow. I know he made that dive at the bag, and his neck has been bothering him. What's the status tomorrow?
Well, he was going to throw not off a mound. He hasn't really thrown off a mound between starts for his last two starts. I'm not sure if he's going to get off a mound, got off a mound yesterday or not. I'm pretty sure he just played catch. They are green lighting TV, but they do have Bumgarner in reserve. They can throw him on regular rest. They would prefer to give him the extra day and have him pitch the opener at Pittsburgh, whereas we all know he's pretty decent at PNC Park. I'm sure Pirates fans would love for Bumgarner to be a surprise starter tomorrow so they don't have to face him in the series coming up. But, PV, I think, is right now good to go, but he's definitely that's a situation that bears watching and could change. So right now he gets one extra day with Suarez being moved up, and then they really do feel like Matt Cain will not be completely restarting. They don't think that he really messed up his hamstring any worse than where it was before, and it's much better. It's much milder than the strain was when he first did it in Colorado. So they're hoping that he'll just miss two turns. But, of course, these hamstrings, as we found out this season, have been really, really tough to predict, both with Pagan, with Pence, with everybody.
Yeah, they're three for three on re-aggravation. So I'm on it, believe me. I've talked about this for a while. They're 21 days. You don't rush it, and they've rushed all of them. So that's what you have to do when you want players on the field when you pay them a lot of money. Andy, the team is 42-26, 6.5-game lead. You're with them. You follow them. You've been through all the World Series years and everything else. Is this year starting to get a good feel to it for you?
Oh, I think it had a good feel from day one of spring training. I looked around the room and I thought this is probably the most complete team, the deepest team, the team where even if you have a few wrenches thrown into the works, as you always do during a season, they can probably make up for almost any of them, aside from maybe losing Buster Posey, knock on wood. But, I thought that from day one, that this was a team that absolutely should, win series consistently, slowly build up that record. Maybe not a team that'll win 10 in a row, but or start off like the Cubs did, but just consistently build. 1 week you're 12 over 500, the next week you're 13 over 500, and then you look up and you're at the 93 wins or whatever you need to do. to win the division. And, you know, the fact that the Dodgers really have a lot of issues, obviously, they're only a couple games over 500 at this stage. You know, I think you just have to do what you can to keep the pedal to the metal and keep trying to create some distance. Because, you know, the Dodgers have resources. They could do some things at the trade deadline. They could get Yasiel Puig back. By the way, did you hear what happened at San Jose? Sergio Romo made a rehab appearance. Not only did he strike out Yasiel Puig, but Puig was the beer batter. Can you believe that?
I didn't know that. Very good.
That is fascinating. that was quite amusing to discover that today.
But, I love it.
Anyway, so I think you just keep rolling as best you can, and you know you'll get Hunter Pence back at some point, and you know I think you'll see them try to do some things to help out the bullpen at the trade deadline. But you know, for the most part, this is a good group, and they've taken a couple knocks that really could send a team for a loop, and they survived, you know, having a really really rough start to the season to the bottom two fifths of the rotation, and they've come through that pretty well, so. I think you have to like their prospects going forward.
Yeah, you do. Andy, one last thought for you, and I appreciate you being on today. Casilla is on paternity leave. If it did come to a save, is it a mix and match, or does Corey Guerin get the ball?
I think it's a bit of a mix and match because they do have Stephen Okert, so that means they can maybe save Javi Lopez for a situation where they need to get a left-handed hitter out in the ninth. Guerin is a guy that you think of as more of a right-handed matchup guy because he drops down. You know, he tends to have a tough angle for right-handed hitters. But, you know, we were talking with Bruce Bochy about that, and he said Dan Quisenberry was that way, and he was a really good closer. And, you know, you look at Brad Ziegler right now. He's a guy who does the job, and he throws from that arm slot. So he doesn't necessarily rule out using Guerin for a full inning save. It does seem pretty clear to me, though, that Guerin is ahead of Hunter Strickland in the pecking order for who would form the right-handed portion of that ninth inning, sort of, you know, and if you have a situation where a lefty or two lefties are in a row, then you could use Lopez. But if I had to put my money on who would get a save, if there's a save situation today or tomorrow, I would probably go with Guerin.
Very good. Andy, thanks so much, as always, for the time. Enjoy yourself. And you got Pittsburgh looming ahead. Then we'll see you next Friday when the Phillies come into town. So have a great afternoon and enjoy it.
Well, thanks, Marty. I'm in the Salvador Dali Museum here in St. Petersburg right now. I'm going to head to the ballpark, and maybe I'll have to stop in the Andy Warhol Museum when I go to Pittsburgh.
Beautiful. Very good. Andy, thanks again. Have a good day.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Andy Bagley. Always a pleasure to have Andy on. Really, just a great report in the morning. Get you ready for the game ahead. Matt Moore and Albert Suarez. We've got to learn about Matt Moore and Jake Odorizzi. And a little bit more about these Tampa Bay Rays, and we're going to do that with Ken Korak as we take a break right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.